This morning we are in 1 Thessalonians 5:9-23. We are leaving our study in Genesis this Sunday because this week is Thanksgiving, and I thought it was important that we look particularly at the importance of Thanksgiving as we are preparing for our communion service this evening. Learning to be thankful is one of the most important attitudes that we as followers of Jesus Christ can develop in our lives, because thankfulness unlocks the door to love, joy, peace, and forgiveness. And that's something we should be thankful for. Hear now the word of God from 1 Thessalonians 5:9-23. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Our culture is sick. We live in a sick culture, and that sickness is found in every part of our culture. It doesn't make any difference if you're from the country or the city, if you're rich or you're poor, what ethnic group you may be part of, if you're male or female. It doesn't matter what political party you happen to identify with, or even what religious group you are a member of. Yes, this sickness is found in every one of our hearts, and that sickness is the lack of gratitude. The lack of gratitude. There is little for which we are thankful. And what makes this sickness even worse is that we are the most blessed people on earth. We live at a time of great abundance and freedom and an ability to do what we want, when we want, to have almost anything we want. And yet, having so much, we seem to be some of the most dissatisfied people. I remember one preacher saying, you want to know how to make a man happy? Take away everything he has and just give him back half. And we'd be thankful this morning if somebody took everything away from us and we got back half. But the point is this: we are constantly complaining about everything. We expect that everything should always go exactly as we expect it to, and when it doesn't, we gripe. And everything in our society pushes us to be discontented. Advertisement is geared to make you feel that you need more, that you are lacking something, that you have to have something more. Our news is built around making you angry and upset. And so we are being pushed into being ungrateful people and dissatisfied with all of life. And being a Christian doesn't seem to make much difference. We complain and we grumble as much as anyone else. And the proof of this is that most of us are mad at God. We're angry at him. I met someone this week. I visited with them, and they said to me, Pastor, I'm angry. I'm angry at God. This is how I thought my life would turn out. I've been angry at God for far too long in my own life. You see, my plans weren't the plans that God had for me. My plans were different. And don't we all think that our plans are better than his, and that we need to mold his plans into conformity with ours? And what is the proof that we suffer from ingratitude? It's that if we pray, and usually when we do pray, it's because something tragic has happened or we're confronted with some important decision that we need to make. But most of all, you can see this lack of gratitude in our prayer, because the shortest time in our prayer life is that time of thanksgiving and praise, where the requests seem to go on and on forever and ever. And the result is that God isn't the God that we wanted Him to be. And this attitude spills over into every area of our life. Our spouse isn't the spouse that we wanted. Our children are not the children that we wanted. Our parents are not the parents that we wanted. Our job certainly isn't the job we desired. And our job isn't paying us what we want to be paid. And the weather isn't what I wanted it to be today. Do you see the pattern? Tying Thanksgiving to our study of Genesis, instead of Adam and Eve being thankful for all the trees in the garden that they could eat freely from, they focused on the one tree that they couldn't eat of. Instead of being thankful to God that He permitted them to have all of this abundance, they resented Him for the one tree that was forbidden for them. Listen to how Paul describes our fall in the book of Romans. He says, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor give thanks. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And those seeds of ingratitude were sown into all of our hearts, so that it seems to be so much easier to be thankless people than thankful people. We see this in the children of Israel, don't we? Do you remember how they cried out to God in Egypt? Deliver us! Pharaoh is killing our children. We're forced to work here as slaves. Life is miserable. And what does God do? He delivers them miraculously through the crossing of the Red Sea. And not even two chapters later, listen to the children of Israel. Would that we have died at the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. No gratitude. We see this gratitude in the story of the 10 lepers. Leprosy was a horrible disease. It cut you off from everybody you loved. You couldn't be around them. You lived usually outside the city gate. You had to beg for someone to show you enough pity to leave some food out for you. Everywhere you walked, you had to shout out, unclean, 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 so no one would accidentally touch you. Life was miserable. And God and Christ healed 10 lepers. And how many came back to thank Him? Just one. Just one showed any gratitude to our Lord for healing him. The evidence of ingratitude can be seen in the fact that so few people in our daily lives thank us, don't they? So few people will thank you for something. And if someone does thank us for something, it seems to be rather perfunctory than sincere. And it's easy to complain about how people so seldom thank us, when we forget that happen to be one of those people that so seldom thank others. When is the last time you truly thanked someone for what they did for you and showed your appreciation to them? And this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we will gather with friends and family. And what should be a joyous, thankful occasion could turn out to be a disaster for many of us, as old family hurts and problems boil to the surface as we remember not what we're thankful for, but what has troubled us for so many years. Ingratitude is not simply a result of bad manners or a poor upbringing. It's a spiritual problem. It's the unwillingness to believe and accept that God has been good to us far beyond what we deserve. Our life is not characterized by thankfulness, very simply because we do not believe the gospel and we have not experienced the grace of God through Jesus Christ. In our text, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica, we're different. We're different in life and we're different in death because we have a promise from Jesus Christ. And that promise is this, that we will forever be with Him, whether we live or die. And he says, this is the gospel, and it works its way out in our lives these following ways. And I want you to pay careful attention to make sure that these characteristics are evident in your life. He says in verse 14, if you believe this message, you'll be patient. In verse 15, he says, if you believe this message, you'll be gracious. You'll not repay evil for evil. You'll desire to do good. In verse 16, it says, you'll rejoice. In verse 17, it says, you'll pray. In verse 18, it says, if you believe this, you'll give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It is the gospel which fills our hearts with thanksgiving. Paul says the very same thing in Ephesians 5:20. He writes, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice that in both of these verses, Christian thanksgiving is far different from regular thanksgiving. Because in regular thanksgiving, we give thanks for the things that please us, for the things that we like, for the things that we were expecting. But in Christian thanksgiving, Paul calls us to give thanks in all circumstances. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always in all things. How can you give thanks for all things in all circumstances? Isn't Paul naive or foolish? Or what do you mean by that? How could you give thanks in all things? How can you give thanks when you're going through hardships and difficulties and pain and suffering? How can you give thanks? It's even more difficult when someone you love is going through those very same things. But Paul isn't asking us to do anything that he himself does not do, that the gospel has not demonstrated in his own life. If you had to describe Paul's life, you'd describe it as one of difficulty, of struggle, of disappointment, of persecution, and of suffering. And listen to how many times he thanks God in his writings. Romans 6:17, God be thanked. Romans 7:25, I thank God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we thank God without ceasing. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God. Philemon 1:4, I thank my God. I thank my God. Paul's heart and life was filled with thanksgiving. Why? Because it was filled with the knowledge of the grace of Jesus Christ, and it was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important, because in the passage in Ephesians, the verse just before it says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're to admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness our hearts, giving thanks to God. You see, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to ground us in the truth of God. And it is the Holy Spirit who helps us give thanks even in the most difficult situations. So that we have a choice. We have a choice that we can thank God in and through all circumstances of life because we are resting and depending on the gospel and the Holy Spirit who applies it to our life, or we can allow the circumstances of life to push and shove us, to whiplash our emotions back and forth. Now, if you are living based upon the circumstances of your life, if you are living hoping that if the circumstances go well, you're going to give thanks, you simply end up becoming a very cynical or even a person who is in despair. But the gospel gives us another way of living. Instead of responding to the chaotic nature of circumstances, our life is built around Jesus Christ and around the promises of his gospel and around a vision of God who says that we have a heavenly Father who is good to us, who gives us bread and not stones when we need it, who gives us fish when we ask for it and not a snake. Our heavenly Father, we are told, is working all things together for our good, together all things, even those things that are unbearable. And the proof that his grace lives in our heart is that in the midst of those difficult circumstances, even with a broken heart, we can thank our Lord Jesus Christ from the bottom of our heart. We can realize that we're not victims that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And Paul says the reason we can do that, because we have an eternal hope that even in the face of death, our Lord is holding on to us. And it is the Holy Spirit who brings out that thankfulness in our heart. Let me give you four ways that the Holy Spirit works to bring out thankfulness in our hearts. First of all, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the truth of the gospel. It is He who holds on to our hearts. It's He who grounds us. Do you ever think why we're not knocked down more often in life? Why we don't lose our faith more quickly? Why is it that sometimes in the most difficult circumstances, we feel more grounded and closer to the Lord? Well, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus tells us in John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the truth of the gospel at those times when we need it most. Secondly, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. If we're going to pray with thankful hearts, we've got to depend on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I'm sure that in those times of sufferings and difficulties, thanksgiving flows out of those groanings and yearnings that we have within our hearts, because the Spirit knows that thanksgiving will keep us close to Him. Third, the Spirit produces His fruit in our lives. The Spirit produces His fruit in our lives. Galatians 5:22-23. You know that list of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you say, John, where is faithfulness in all that? Well, faithfulness is the fertile ground in which the tree that the fruit of the Spirit grows on lives in. It's because we have grateful hearts that we can love and be joyful and be at peace and have patience, because we're thankful for all that God has done for us. And fourth, the Spirit produces thankfulness in our hearts because He reproduces the life of Christ in us. He reproduces the life of Christ in us. And this is very important. We have a picture of our Lord at the Last Supper as He takes the bread. As He is breaking it, what does He do? He gives thanks. What has our Lord just reinterpreted that bread as? His own body. The Lord isn't saying the typical meal blessing. What's the typical meal blessing that everybody prays? Yeah. The Lord wasn't doing that. He gave thanks for what He was about to do, for the horrific death He was about to die. And you might ask, how could He do that? Well, we find out how He could do it by the last words that He spoke on the cross when He said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." He could give thanks in the light of His death because He knew He was entrusting Himself into the hands of the Lord. And what the Holy Spirit does is He reproduces the life of Christ in us, so that even in the midst of horrific suffering, even though we might look a lot like the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, we end up being able to thank God because we have placed our lives in His hands. Yes, Christian, thanksgiving is different because we're called to give thanks in all circumstances. But Paul writes that giving thanks in all things is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that every one of us at some point in our lives have wondered, Lord, what do you want me to do? Perhaps young people, you're thinking about that at this very moment. You know, what should I do with my life? What kind of career path should I take? What college should I think about going to? Who should I marry? Should I stay married, you might be thinking. If you are married, and hopefully the will of God is clear on that. But here's one place where Paul tells us, I'm going to tell you what the will of God is. The will of God is that you're to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, why would God want you to give thanks in all circumstances? I have four reasons for that as well. The first is this. God wants us to give thanks in all circumstances because it will protect the spiritual health of your soul. God wants you to give thanks in all circumstances because it will protect the spiritual health of your soul. In the midst of difficult times, what is the first thought that comes to your mind? Where is God? Or, what unconfessed sin is God punishing me for? And if we allow those doubts to rest in our soul, they will continue to separate us from our God until we believe the worst about Him. What is the only thing that will cause those doubts to flee? In the midst of our difficulties and troubles, we thank God for all that He has done for us. We see this in Psalm 73, don't we? The psalmist begins by saying, you know, I looked around at the world and I saw how the evil were enjoying life and how the righteous seemed to be struggling. And I looked at those things and I almost slipped. I almost stumbled. He said, but then I went into the house of the Lord. And what does Psalm 100 tell us how we're to go into the house of the Lord? With thanksgiving. What in thanksgiving, we remind ourselves of the good things that God has done for us. And it's a way to cleanse our soul of those doubts by reminding us of who God is and how He has been involved in our lives. Now, we not only must thank God for the difficult circumstances in our lives, we've got to thank God for the good things that happen to us because they are just as much a stumbling block, if not more, than the bad things. Because quite honestly, when things go bad, you know, we want to turn to God. When things go well, we wander. When good things happen in our lives, the natural tendency is to give who the credit for them? Ourselves. When you give credit for the good things that are going on in your life, you are making yourself God. You are committing idolatry. And the main way that idolatry is seen in the Church of Jesus Christ is in the lack of thankfulness. And idolatry is also seen in our own lives through the lack of thankfulness. If there's no thankfulness in your heart, it's because you're worshiping yourself. When good things happen to us, we thank God for them because we credit Him for them. And this is the best way that we keep the first commandment, that we'll have no other gods before us. And it's the best way of keeping the great commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, to thank Him for all that He has done. Giving thanks is the will of God because, first of all, it protects us spiritually. Secondly, giving thanks to God will help us love our neighbors. Giving thanks to God will help us love our neighbors, especially those neighbors that we live with, those we are married to, or a sibling, or a parent, or a child. Let's be honest. What is most easy to remember about the people who are closest to you? The good or the bad? What gets played over and over in your mind? The positive attributes of those who are closest to you or the negative attributes of those who are closest to you? It's so much easier for us to remember far quicker and to dwell on far longer the hurts and disappointments and wounds that people have left on us. But if you want to love your neighbor, your spouse, your parent, your child, make it a regular habit to be thankful for them. You say, John, there's not much to be thankful for. Well, there's got to be something. And hold on to that and keep reminding yourself of that, and it'll change the way that you view them. Thank God for those positive attributes that they have. And giving thanks regularly to God for that person will begin to change your heart for that individual. If you're here this morning and you don't love your wife, or you don't love your husband, or you have difficulty loving your child, or if you have difficulty loving your parent, you start praying. You start praying and giving thanks to God for that person. and he will change your heart. Now, not only should we thank God for other people, we should thank other people. We should thank other people. When's the last time you actually thanked someone for something they had done to you, some way they had contributed to your life? And let's not get too spiritual about this thing. Christy told me the story that she was at this event, and there was a friend of hers with her, and her friend went up to talk to the speaker afterwards, and they had a fairly long conversation, and Christy came back to Christy, and this woman was saying how much she appreciated the conversation, the devotion that was given, and just what a great devotion it was. And Christy asked, well, did you thank the person for that? And the response of Christy's friend was, oh, no, I didn't want to make the person proud. Well, do you know what happens? Well, let me ask you this. When someone sincerely from the heart thanks you, how do you feel?
Great.
Humbled.
Yeah.
You feel humbled. Why? You know, you're not making me proud when you come up and say, John, that was a really great sermon. I feel humbled. And that's how we should feel. We should feel humble that God would use us in another's life in that deep way. Third, we're to give thanks because it will help us to worship God in spirit and truth. We're to give thanks that it's the will of God because it will help us worship God in spirit and truth. Let's be honest. All of us are a little pagan in the way we worship. Pagan worship operates on a quid pro quo basis. Now, I've heard that not many people understand what quid pro quo is, so let me explain it. Quid pro quo means I'm going to do this for you, and then in return, you're going to do this for me. Now, that's exactly how the natural heart approaches worship. God, I'm here today to do something for you, so in return, you're going to do something for me. But when our worship is filled with thanksgiving, we're not coming to God for future benefits, are we? We're coming to God to thank him for who he is and what he's done, his past benefits. And so in that way, it protects us from thinking that we're actually manipulating God by being here this morning. If you're here this morning thinking that God is going to do something for you because you're here, you should have stayed home and slept in. It ain't going to happen. Doesn't work that way. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Why? Because when we approach God with thanksgiving, have a correct view of him, and it's a check on our heart. Fourth, being a thankful person will bring us greater success. Being a thankful person will bring us a greater success. The Lord wants us to be thankful because we'll be happier, healthy, more successful people. Thankful people are happier people to be around. People who are happy are more fun than being around a grumpy old curmudgeon. You will be more likely to get the job or the raise or the promotion. You'll have more friends. You'll enjoy life and be enjoyed by others. Why? Because you're a thankful person. And there is no end to the benefits of being filled with thankfulness. Now, you need to know that we're not talking about personality here. When the scripture commands us to give thanks, they're not saying have a bubbly personality. It's not saying that being thankful is a result of your DNA. It's not. You see, the only real way we can have a truly thankful heart is to experience the grace of God in Christ Jesus. That our heart be changed and that the Holy Spirit protect and transform us. Do you remember the story in Matthew 18 about the two servants, one owed a great debt and one owed a fairly large sum of money to that man who owed a great debt. The man who owed a great debt that he could never possibly repay is forgiven by his master. If you were forgiven of all your debts today, how would you feel? Grateful. You would be so grateful that in return you would show gratefulness or grace to those around you. True and sincere gratefulness and thanksgiving comes from only one thing, and that's from having experienced it in the gospel through Jesus Christ. And what this means in our life is this. We must yield it to Christ. Young people, I didn't notice a parenthesis here saying, give thanks for all things unless you're a teenager. You see, what a difference, young people, you should be to the people around you, because you should be grateful, happy, thankful people. And this can only happen as we yield our lives to Christ. And this can only happen as we see a growing dependence on Christ and His grace. Let's pray.